Welcome to the Media Line. I'm Lawrence Rifkin. Joining me is Alon Pinkas, an Israeli political advisor and former diplomat. Alon, it was thought that by the time the mandate to form a government was given to Benny Gantz, everyone involved would understand the urgency of avoiding the almost inevitable next step, a third election in less than a year. Hardly any Israeli voter really wants this, so Gantz now has less than 2 weeks. Is this just a lot of brinkmanship?
I think it's a genuine impasse. I don't know, honestly, who thought that Benny Gantz will be able to form a government. The odds were stacked against him, and I think that the impasse is leading almost inexorably toward the 21-day period. For our listeners, the 21-day period is the period after the second candidate exhausted his mandate, Netanyahu being the first, Gantz being the second. And then there's a 21-day period in which any member of Knesset could come up with, theoretically, hypothetically, 61 supporters and go to the president and say, I can form a government. Then, possibly, conceivably, Gantz can form a government. The kingmaker, politically, is, in fact, the attorney general. I mean, the conventional wisdom is that it is a member of Knesset, Lieberman, Avigdor Lieberman, who supposedly calls the shots and can decide because he can join either Gantz or Netanyahu and form a narrow government short of a national unity government. But that's the conventional wisdom. The truth of the matter is that the attorney general, by virtue of his decision to present and publicly announce that Mr. Netanyahu is being indicted on A, B, and C. If he does that in the next 8 days or 9 days until Mr. Gantz's mandate expires, or in that 21-day period that I referred to a minute ago, then we may have a government. If he does not, if he decides to stall or to further examine the evidence, etc., then we are looking at a new election.
You are listening to Alon Pinkas, an Israeli political advisor and former diplomat. Alon, if the compromises necessary for a unity government are not forthcoming, Gantz's only alternative seems to be a minority government, meaning one with fewer than 61 Knesset seats. And this would require outside support from the country's so-called Arab parties. How viable is this? After all, Arab parties are still seen with some suspicion by many Israelis.
Yes. Now we go back to Mr. Lieberman. Mr. Lieberman has a reputation and a record of being virulently anti-Arab. And he said on many occasions and on numerous instances that he will not sit down in a government that is supported by the Arabs. Now, the Arabs, for the benefit of our listeners, is a unified party of 13 seats in parliament, which is composed of three parties. One faction, called Balat, is only three seats. They are considered to be an extremist party. So if you subtract the three and leave just the 10, then conceivably Mr. Gantz has a government with those 10 and Mr. Lieberman and the Labor Party and the Meretz, the left-wing Meretz party. Together they have 62 seats, or 61. On the other hand, Mr. Gantz is saying to Likud, I welcome a national unity government. And I welcome you into my government. And I even would be willing to entertain a rotation, meaning two prime ministers, one for the first 2 years and one for the remaining 2 years. Thing is, I will not be willing to accommodate Mr. Netanyahu, A, because I won the election by virtue of getting more seats, and B, because he is facing indictments, and this would throw the country into political turmoil. So if Mr. Netanyahu is willing to be the second in line, and if he faces indictments, then someone else from Likud will take his place, then we can form a national unity government composed of blue and white, that's Gantz's party, and Likud, and Mr. Lieberman, tomorrow morning. Thing is that Likud is unwilling to entertain that option and to seriously consider it. So we're left with a political impasse that the narrow government can't be formed because Lieberman won't sit with the Arabs and the Arabs won't sit with Lieberman. And a national unity government can't be formed because Likud would not depose of Netanyahu and Mr. Netanyahu will not agree to be the second because that would prevent him from arguing his case against the indictment from the position of being prime minister. And while this all looks silly to the average listener, it may very well lead to a third election cycle in mid-March.
Analytically speaking, if Avigdor Lieberman is not yet willing to sit in a government that is supported by Arab parties. Has there been movement in terms of the Israeli electorate, if they're still suspicious?
That's a key question and an observation, Larry, because if you had asked me this in 2015, my answer would be unequivocally no. But between the April 2019 election and the September 2019 election, I think there is a movement that more and more Israelis are willing to accommodate the idea that the Arab parties be part of the coalition. The Arabs, as you know, constitute 20% of the Israel's population, and there's no reason to discriminate against them. Obviously and naturally and viscerally, people have, you know, equivocations about an Arab sitting in the Knesset Foreign Relations and Defense Committee. Obviously, Israelis have reservations about an Arab minister being privy to intelligence information. That can all be circumvented. I don't think the Arab wants to be privy to that information. They can be handed the welfare ministry or the health ministry or the transportation ministry, tourism for that matter, or any other ministry that is not tangential in any way to national security. But let's not forget the key factor is a majority of Israelis want Mr. Netanyahu out, whether they are left-wing, centrist, or right-wing. They want him out, not necessarily the right-wing, not necessarily Likud, but Mr. Netanyahu. This is not a 70-30 majority, but it's certainly over 50%. And it's up to Likud to come to terms with that reality.
Alon Pinkas, thank you for joining me at the Media Line. I'm Lawrence Rifkin.